No one goes to Hank's for his spreadsheets. They go for a darn good pizza. Lately, though, the shop's been quiet, so Hank decides to bring back the $1 slice. He asks Copilot in Microsoft Excel to look at his sales and costs and help him see if he can afford it. Copilot shows Hank where the money's going and which little extras make the dollar slice work. Now Hank has a line out the door. Hank makes the pizza. Copilot handles the spreadsheets. Learn more at m365copilot.com/work.
Morning decisions. How about a creamy mocha frappuccino drink? Or a sweet vanilla? Smooth caramel, maybe. Or a white chocolate mocha. Whichever you choose, delicious coffee awaits. Find Starbucks frappuccino drinks wherever you buy your groceries.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Now commencing.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
So far, so good.
With guest host Kirk Morrison.
I like it.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, U.S. men's soccer great Landon Donovan. Coming up, senior NBA writer for The Athletic, John Hollinger. Senior NFL writer for The Athletic, Ted Wynn. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Kirk Morrison.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. Yes, that's right.
Come on,
clap
let's
it
go.
Up on this Monday, June 22nd, as we get into the second week of true summer, as my kids and I are on vacation or they go to summer camp. So a lot of kids are going to summer camp.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we've talked about it. So everybody's kind of in that summer mode a little bit. So you don't go to sleep until a little bit later. You know what I mean? I'm not going to sleep until I won't even tell you what time. Because I'm finding things to watch. I'm binge watching this. I'm binge watching that. Then you got soccer that's going on. And I'm watching that. And I'm taping what's going on with golf. And I'm watching the golf. And you're like, man, because you got to start to find, it's that time of the year where you got to find your appointment viewing. What are you going to watch? As a lot of sports come to an end, as a lot of free time will be upon us, what are you going to focus on? Okay. Because the NBA finals was last week and that was like the major, like we thought it was going to last maybe a little bit longer, get to 6-7 games. Mm-hmm. And you kind of go through that. And now that it's over, the next part of the NBA season or on the NBA calendar is the NBA draft. And then we're going to have free agency. Well, that's a little bit later on, but I would say the next thing is going to be, and this is what I heard from some folks, NBA Summer League. And so NBA Summer League, honestly, is really about the guys who are going to be drafted tomorrow in the NBA's 2026 NBA draft. So the guy who can discuss it all with me, my guy John Hollinger, who joins us right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Cool.
John, thanks for coming on because, look, Summer League, is going to be here before we know it. They're going to be just, you know, shoving it down, just telling everybody, hey, Tom Shumerly, AJ Nabonsa, Darren Peters, you know, just all the names. And so as we head into this draft tomorrow, what's the expectation? You almost feel like it's already kind of set, but is there any surprises that you see maybe at the top two, top three?
Well, first of all, let me say true summer for anyone who works in the NBA doesn't begin until July 15th when you take that plane home from Vegas Summer League, right? Because we got all the transactions that are going to happen in the league are coming in the next 2 weeks, basically. Yeah. So, everyone's drinking out of the fire hose right now. But in terms of the draft, I think it's going to end up being chalk. The one thing that's still out there is you wonder if the Wizards surprise everyone and take Peterson first instead of DeBanza.
Okay.
But I think those will be the first two players off the board. I think Boozer will go to Memphis number three. I think Wilson will go to Chicago number four. And then the draft will begin at five because there are a lot of different point guards out there that the Clippers could turn to. The Clippers could trade that pick. Like there's a lot of optionality there. But one through four, I think we're going to end up pretty chalky.
Yeah, pretty chalky on that. So we could see a little bit of movement. You know, obviously, when it comes to this draft, what's the expectation for those players in that top four, because, you know, we're seeing what from this past NBA finals, and no one expects, you know, Dylan Harper to do what he did, but he played a major part in the NBA finals and throughout the season. How impactful can these young players be right away? Or is it looking more like a Cooper Flagg situation where guy plays great, but a team that's not very good?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the teams these guys are going to. I mean, Utah is positioned to be good next year. They're probably the one exception. But Memphis is rebuilding. Washington's rebuilding. Chicago's rebuilding. So, yeah, it's probably more of a Cooper Flagg situation for the three guys that go there. Utah, whether it's Peterson or DeBanza, they're going into a situation where that might be a playoff team right away. In terms of the level of players, I think – there's not a Wemby in this draft, but there are four Harpers at the top is how I would put it, right? Like these guys are all really good players. The draft is very deep with quality going down to about 20, and then it falls off a cliff because everyone after 20 took the NIL money and went back to school, basically.
The NIL money, yeah. And now we've got guys, not just players, but we've got coaches now said, you know what? I'm done with this NIL era. I'm going to the NBA now with Dusty May being now the new head coach with the Dallas Mavericks. Kind of talk about that a little bit. How does that come about where a head coach is being kind of talked to a little bit, but says, you know what? I'm going to turn down a job where I just won a national championship with this program in Michigan. I'm going to go to the NBA. And look, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. We've had some names of guys who – remember, Brad Stevens was a college coach. He goes into the NBA. So Billy Donovan. So we've seen those list of names. But what's the now expectation for Dusty May going to the NBA and becoming a head coach?
Well, hopefully it works out better than the last Michigan coach who did that, John Beilein. But realistically, I mean, Dusty May, I think, is in a good position to make this jump. He's still – pretty young. And I think he's shown he can win in different environments. I mean, he took Florida Atlantic to the Final Four before he got the Michigan job. So he's done it in different places with different teams. And so I think that's a really good sign for him. I mean, there's definitely going to be a learning curve for him that first year. But I think that Dallas team isn't built to be a win now team either. So he's going to be able to grow kind of along with Cooper Flagg and Derek Lively and whoever they take tomorrow.
Senior NBA writer for The Athletic, John Hollinger, joining the Rich Eisen Show. Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich. But, you know, there's been the note that's going around, the reports that Giannis Antetokounmpo will select or the trade will happen. Obviously, he's got a lot of say in that. But the trade has now come down to the two finalists, Boston Celtics, Miami Heat. If you look at it right now, where do you think Giannis Antetokounmpo lands tomorrow, either before the draft or after the draft? But where does he think he lands?
Man, I've been thinking Miami the whole time. Mm-hmm. And now I just wonder if the idea of Jaylen Brown is just too tempting for the Bucks and that they're going to end up going that direction versus the package of interesting stuff from Miami that isn't, but it's not an all NBA player, right? So, and I think the change in the tanking rules may incentivize this somewhat, where in the past, if you're Milwaukee, you might have done a full reset. Now, I know they don't have control of some of their future picks, but still, you might have looked toward trying to rebuild, trying to get some of your picks back, maybe involve Portland in trades because the Blazers have some future Bucks picks. And now I think that's kind of out the window and you just live with wherever your picks end up and you try to put together at least a halfway decent team. And you have better chance of doing that with Jaylen Brown, I think, than you do with a Tyler Hero-led package from Miami.
I mean, Giannis will be traded. We know that. And it's finally come to this point. All the rumors that we've heard for years, Giannis is going to be traded. Then he wants to stay. Then he wants to leave. Then he wants to stay. But, John, my question is that the expectation that when he does finally get traded, he's got to win a championship, right? I mean, he's already won one. I know that. But he's going to a place where he's actually going to be the number two. I don't see in this scenario that he goes into a team and he's going to be the alpha there. I feel like this is a situation where he's going to go to a team and has to be the number two more so than the number one.
Well, he'll be the number one in Miami without any doubt. In Boston, it's a little trickier because Tatum's already there.
Right.
It's going to be kind of a 1A, 1B situation. And I think the trick for Giannis in Boston is that he has to embrace being a screener as much as being on the on-ball guy, which is kind of the thing he's always done in Milwaukee. Even when they had Middleton and Holiday there, he was more playing on the ball. And him being able to play off the ball than play with Tatum, that's where it has to happen. That's the adjustment he would have to make if he went to Boston. But I think he's still going there, either Boston or Miami. Like, you still got to look at him as a top five MVP candidate and all NBA level player. So, yeah, I don't think he takes a backseat to anyone on either of those rosters.
John, I always say this because until the deal is final, there's always a little wiggle room in there for a dark horse team to come in and say, hey, we got a little something extra. We got a little more for you. Mm-hmm. Because now, like, because to me, I said, why would you publicly say, oh, it's down to Boston, it's down to Miami? And I'm like, well, what is there's another team that puts a better package? And we know the NBA, this is a league in which you can get two or three teams involved and not just one team. So to me, I feel like there could be a dark horse team or teams that make this deal a little bit better and everybody benefits from it rather than one team having to give up so many assets.
So there are two truisms from my time in an NBA front office. One, a deal is never done until it's done, right? And there's always ways it can go sideways until that point. And then usually in a deal of this magnitude, it does help to bring in third and fourth teams. Even though right now they're talking about one-to-one trades, I wouldn't be surprised if this trade expanded. I wouldn't be like, even if it's agreed to,
right,
I don't think it's going to be executed until early July. And that gives time for some of these secondary pieces that might be involved in the trade to end up in a third team. The Bucks might turn around and have a bidding. The Bucks could turn around and trade Jaylen Brown.
Wow.
I think that's hard to do. It's hard to contact 29 teams about a player you don't have possession of and talk seriously about a trade, right? Mm-hmm. But I think it's more easily done if they do this trade first. It's similar kind of to what happened with Drew Holiday when they put him in the Lillard trade, and then he went to Portland, and then right, and then he ended up going to Boston later. So it would be sort of similar to that, just in reverse. So I still think there's some dominoes that can fall on this. At this point, I don't see a third team getting involved. I mean, I think they've put enough smoke signals out there that it's Boston and Miami, that if there was a third team that had a compelling package, by this time they would have called Milwaukee and made their pitch.
Senior NBA writer for The Athletic, John Hollinger, joining the Rich Eisen Show. I always laugh when I hear that because I feel like everybody's putting their elevator pitch in and there's still some room to move around. But always look at the team that just last won the championship, in the New York Knicks, and how they've built their team. And it's always say in a copycat league like the NFL, people see what's successful for one organization and you try to bring that to your organization. Is that something now that people are looking the way the Knicks were built and say, hey, we can kind of do some of that as well, and how Leon Rose and those guys were able to build it all?
It's interesting because I think sometimes teams end up with like this magic bullet theory of how they're going to build a team and succeed, of, you know, we're going to tank and win the lottery, or we're going to get three max guys and do it that way. And the way the Knicks did it was just stacking about 15 straight, really smart moves on top of each other. Like, even if you go back to like drafting Quickly, who they ended up putting in the Ananobi trade, right? Mm-hmm. Or you know, the free agent signing of DiVincenzo, who ended up being an important piece in the Towns trade. It was like they had to build to the point that they could make those moves for Towns and Ananobi, and they successfully did that, even though those guys weren't part of the championship team. Those moves were crucial to New York eventually winning. So if you go back and look over the last 5-6 years, how many of those moves they needed to make to build the team to this point. So it's hard to say that in a meeting is like the magic thing, but like, yeah, what if we just make a bunch of really smart moves and bring in good players? Like, can we try that? You know? So, I think that's the lesson learned from New York. Like, they just hats off. They made a bunch of really great moves and were able to win a championship, even without, having anyone who got an MVP vote, just because they were so solid top to bottom. I mean, obviously Brunson was amazing in the playoffs too, but they were just so solid, one through five in that starting lineup, especially.
You know, John, excuse me, because it's only June 22nd, and so it's kind of cool and kind of quiet at the moment. But we always know that right when the summer comes, especially during summer league, the LeBron news starts to ramp up. Where is LeBron going? And who is he with at summer league? Does he want to return as a Laker? Could he go to Golden State? I know it's kind of quiet right now on the LeBron front, but we know it will heat up at some point. What do you think are going to be the major keys that we look at to where LeBron James will possibly, hopefully, maybe finish his career?
The first thing is what the Lakers do with their cap space, because he would occupy a big chunk of it if he resigns at anything close to his market value. Right. Second thing to look at is if he would have any interest in going to the Golden State Warriors, which I think is one other like plausible landing spot where he can get somewhere close to his market value. I mean, Cleveland would be the sentimental place, but if you look at the Cavs cap situation, they could really only sign him to a minimum deal right now, which I'm not sure he's quite willing to settle for that. So I think it's, to me, it's Lakers or Warriors, you know, the most likely landing spots. And whether it's Lakers or not, I mean, it has to be resolved relatively soon, because the Lakers have to figure out what the other moves that they're going to make this summer. They have a bunch of cap room they could use to sign other players. I know they want to get a rim running big man for Luka, for instance, and that's not going to be cheap. And they have some other options on the table, and then they can come back and re-sign Austin Reeves and Jackson Hayes. And getting nerdy here, but like, they have really low cap holds, in free agency, and so that's what enables the Lakers to have this kind of opportunity right now to sign players with cap space and then come back and re-sign Reeves and Hayes and put together a hopefully stronger team than they had a year ago.
John, I'll get you out of here with this one. We can talk about the draft tomorrow. Round one Tuesday, round two on Wednesday. That's something new with the NBA, and I think they did that because by the time we got to the second round, it became a European draft more so than a regular draft. I get that, but tomorrow we'll be tuned in round number one. Is there anybody outside of the top four guys that you've been chalked that we should kind of keep an eye on in tomorrow's first round of the draft?
As far as like a super sleep, I mean, the one guy who everyone is really intrigued by is Allen Graves from Santa Clara. Mm. In terms of a guy who wasn't in a Power 5 league, but put up really great numbers analytically, doesn't always look the part. Like, he's a little bit like kind of heavy footed and, but really skilled and has great hands and stuff. So he's going to be a really interesting evaluation. I think he's going to go in the second half of the first round, and I'm interested to see sort of what is the type of team that ends up selecting him. But as far as the 2-day draft goes, I think everyone whoever worked in the front office thinks, thank goodness. I mean, there was only 2 minutes between picks, and they were getting, those second round picks were getting traded so fast. You could hardly even catch up to who had the pick, even if you were trying to acquire it. So putting more time in between the picks and spreading it out to a second day, I think for the emotional health of front office executives, I think that was a great move. So I don't know how it works for TV ratings and everything else, but I was a big fan of that.
Well, I know you've got a lot to cover over the next 48 hours when it comes to round one and round two and all the other news, as we're still on Giannis Watch, as I'm calling it, John. Appreciate the time as always, John. Catch up with you soon.
All right, thanks for having me on the show.
All right, that's NBA senior writer John Hollinger joining the Rich Eisen Show. And I guess we won't see a three-team trade. I always say before it's in writing or the ink touches the paper, you never know. Because you can't buy a jersey, because once you buy that jersey, what happens? Like, the guy gets traded.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think I was watching the 2018 draft. People were talking about that draft and all the guys who were in that draft and how the Knicks passed up on certain players along the way. They could have got this player, but this player ended up coming back. And Mikal Bridges wasn't even drafted. You forgot? I thought Mikal Bridges started with the Knicks. So I forgot he was drafted to the Suns.
Oh, no, 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 no. You see, Mikal Bridges is on the list of very long draft day blunders that the Philadelphia 76ers have made. You see, they drafted him.
They drafted him.
Then traded him to the Suns. For a guy who wasn't even in the league 2 years later. And Mikal Bridges, by the way, has never missed a game.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah,
the Sixers. I was watching it, yeah. I was watching the building of the New York Knicks roster. Like, you know, everything has been all Knicks. Like I said, I was in New York for a week last week.
Yeah.
So I've watched every documentary on how this team was built. And so I was thinking, like, man, how this team truly was built. And listening to John Hollinger there, it was little moves after little moves that allowed you to get to the team that you got, which I thought was pretty cool in watching how it was done. But this would not be a Monday if we didn't overreact. We got to overreact to what we saw. Overreaction Monday coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show with Kirk Morrison here filling in for Rich.
Hi.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen here with some advice. If high-interest credit card debt is grinding you down, it might be time to call an audible with a SoFi personal loan. It consolidates your debt into one low monthly payment with no fees required. And with as soon as the same day funding, you can make the right play fast. Call an audible on your debt today at SoFi.com/debtplay. Loans originated by SoFi Bank N.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply. NMLS 696891. Fast funds terms apply at SoFi.com/debtplay.
While the world watches the stars at the FIFA World Cup, Hyundai has its eyes on the next generation of talent. Future stars who are already turning heads at age 14. Because next doesn't wait for an invitation, and neither do we. Hyundai has always moved the future within reach. We did it when we made advanced safety standard on every vehicle and engineered EVs with ultra-fast charging capability. And we're still doing it every day. Because the future isn't some far-off concept. It's already here. Next starts now. Hyundai, an official partner of FIFA.
A bandwagon fan. The biggest insult in sports. But this summer, during the FIFA World Cup, it's an invitation, America. Never watched soccer before? Perfect. Think a corner kick is a karate move? Sure, why not? Prefer sports where players can use their hands? Me too. Just here for the snacks? Now we're talking. So grab a bag of Lay's and jump on the bandwagon. We're undefeated. Lay's, the official sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Kurt Warner, 55 today. You think about that moment, and you mentioned it, Brock. I don't know why you did, but it's like, we're getting old, man.
Yeah, dude.
You think about it, man. I remember because Kurt Warner and that greatest show on turf, they won the Super Bowl, and that was in 99.
Mm-hmm. I was a sophomore in college.
That was the one which Mike Jones against the Titans.
Yeah, man, Kevin Dyson.
And that was one of the plays that you just remember. Everybody, there's certain moments that you remember where you were when that happened. My high school coach actually was the NFL high school coach of the year that year. So he was actually at the game on our behalf. So we were excited, like, oh, we got coach of the year there. Oh, wow. So we watched it with like a little more like intense focus. And then boom, right away, that play happens. And Marshall Faulk was on that team. I ended up going to San Diego State, so I'm all excited. Like, it was just a lot to that one. So, always. But we got a phone call. We got to get to these phone calls, too. 844-204-RICH, 844-204-RICH. Who's on the line? I forgot. I didn't see it.
Who do you want to do?
Yeah.
It's up to you. Do you want to talk? You want to get Raiders thoughts?
Oh.
You want to hear from a Bills fan?
Is it Raiders thoughts already? Let's go. Always love to get Raiders thoughts.
All right, let's do it.
We got an overreaction coming up, so let's go.
What's up, Derek?
What's going on, Kirk? Nice to make your acquaintance, brother. I was going to say, if I remember serves me right, the last time you were on, one of the last times you were on the show, Kenny Pickett got traded to the Eagles, and on that same day, Aaron Donald announced his retirement, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I believe so. Kenny Pickett has been traded, from the Rams? Well, no, he went from the Eagles. And I still don't understand how we gave up a fifth-round pick the Raiders did last year to bring him in to be the backup to Geno Smith. That's a whole nother story. I'm putting the 2025 Raiders season in my rearview. It is no longer in my front windshield. Okay. But yeah, Aaron Donald. Yeah. Hopefully he stays retired. A lot of people want him to come back, because if he comes back and he teams up with Myles Garrett, that's like a form of the Avengers. Like, I don't think the NFL wants to see that. Well, I think fans would, but I'm just saying other players don't want to see those two guys lining up on the same side. These are two massive men who are like the strongest in the NFL, by the way. Yeah. Like, Myles Garrett already looks like a mutant, and then Aaron Donald is just another mutant. So two mutants together is just basically the beating X-Men up on offenses. Yeah, that's the X-Men. Yeah.
It's diabolical, and it's pretty much our form of a doomsday in the NFL.
Yeah.
If Donald does come back. But, you know, Kirk, being the former Raider that you are,
yeah,
what are your expectations for the team down there in Vegas this upcoming season? And do you believe it should be Fernando being QB1, or should it be Kirk, just because it's just play things safe? If anything, if he, you know, signs in camp and so-and-so, where do we stand with Fernando at this point, do you think?
You know, Derek, I'm going to give you the Clint Kubiak answer, and it's one that I've been using for a very long time. It will all reveal itself.
Oh.
It will all reveal itself. And the reason, and it's not a cop-out answer, but I think with a lot of these quarterback competitions that are going on in the NFL, there's a competition in Atlanta between Michael Penix and Tua Tagovailoa. There's a competition in Minnesota when it comes to Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy. Like, there's a competition when it comes to the Raiders quarterback position. And right now, the leader in the clubhouse, to me, from what I've seen with my two eyes, has been Kirk Cousins. He has the resume. He has the knowledge of the offense. He has the leadership capabilities. And there was a story, I think, that was came out today about Fernando Mendoza learning how to be a leader now in the National Football League. That's one of the hardest things for any rookie quarterback, let alone player. Like, I remember as a rookie, you kind of sit back a little bit. You try to figure out, how do I lead? Where do I lead? Because right now, Kirk Cousins is able to go and say, hey, no, get over here, line up here. No, you're the X, get over here. Like, there's a level of expertise that Kirk Cousins has right now that Fernando Mendoza is going to get. He's going to learn. It's not there yet. So I think as you go into the season, what will reveal itself is who's the guy that can get you to week one and can help you win right away. There's no doubt the future is Fernando Mendoza, but you want to be able to have him go out there when the time is right. We don't want to rush it. We don't want to rush it unless Kirk Cousins is just god awful. And I don't think that. From what I've been talking with him and seeing what he's been able to do so far in t-shirts and shorts, has looked pretty good. So I'll caution you with that, as there's multiple plans that I think will kind of take place. But again, training camp and preseason, it will all reveal itself. Thanks for the phone call, Derek.
Yeah, Kirk, and you look at the Raiders' first schedule. I mean, you know, you open against Miami, and you know, a lot of people are expecting them to be.
Well, they're all on Sunday, so you don't have to tell me about the prime time.
At the top of the draft.
They're playing on Sundays
but
every
then,
day.
But then you're at Chargers, at New Orleans, Chiefs, at New England, Buffalo. That's a really tough first, and then the Rams.
Yeah.
So, you know, week one aside, just because that's based on Miami's expectations, and then the next 6 weeks are like, whoa.
Yeah.
So, you know, you'd rather have, you know, kind of similar to what New England did with Jacoby Brissett and Drake May.
Right.
You know, let's have the veteran out there to start the season. And then, you know, we'll see where we're at kind of midway through. And if it's, you know, Fernando time, then it's Fernando time.
Yeah. I always say, like, as a player, you kind of know. And I've been in those situations, too, where you know what you have in front of you. And the guy who is best for that position right now, you'll know. You can't. The one thing you can't fool players on the team. That's the one thing you can't do. You can't fool those guys. We're the ones watching at practice, and all the fans and media writers can speculate. But when you're on a practice field and you see, like, okay, this dude is ready to go right now. He's ready to play right now. Or this guy is the best option for us to go out and win. I'm not trying to waste my years. I don't want to do all that, because I feel like once you put Fernando Mendoza in, he's not coming out. So how long can you resist that temptation before you put him in there? Because, look, we've seen it every single year. Everybody says quarterback's going to wait. He's going to wait. We're going to wait. And all of a sudden, you're 1-3. It's like, put him out there. Put him out there. Put him. Yep. You know, we saw with Jackson Dart last year. I mean, look, we still don't know how good Jackson Dart is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a lot to prove this year. We're seeing Cam Ward coming in year two. Now, are they going to have the jump similar to what we saw with Caleb Williams? Or what seems to be a regression from a guy like C.J. Stroud going in his fourth year? So you've got, I think, examples all across the NFL when it comes to the quarterback position. But that's why we overreact. And that's why I'm going to Overreaction Monday with you, Brock. What you got?
Let's do it.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy Monday. Great to see you.
Oh, great to see you, my man.
Everybody good?
Oh,
we got a real hodgepodge. You know, NFL, there's not a lot going on. You know, it's summer break for the league here for the next month or so. So we're just kind of a TJ, you know, you like to use this term. It's a grab bag. It's a mix. It's a mixed bag overreaction Monday.
Remember those things?
Yeah. And we got to get to it right away because the hype is real for the U.S. men's national team. You know,
it's hype.
Two wins.
Okay.
Looked great in both scoring. We're on it. And we're going to the World Cup final.
Wow. That is
the final.
Final?
Final.
The final.
Like the last game.
The last game. Like last winner the last. Gets the trophy on the desk. You know what
like
I mean?
Knicks Spurs, USA
like
versus.
USA versus whoever. Probably not going to be Argentina. Messi's out here missing penalty kicks. So they're out.
That is an overreaction right there, man. Seriously. Like, I love the U.S. men's national team. And I like their kits. Let them wear.
Look phenomenal.
It looks great.
Looks great.
On television, it's great. The guys look cool. I mean, I think like Landon Donovan said earlier when we caught up with him, like they look cool. Like before when you would see the U.S. men's national team, oh, here goes the guys, right? Oh, there they go.
Yeah.
But like now, like they look cool.
We have got swag.
They got stared. See, that's what I was looking. They got confidence and swagger.
Yeah.
There's confidence and a swagger about them. I think I just love that the more and more we see the U.S. team, the more and more people are trying to fight for these tickets. The influencers are out right now. Everybody wants
prices
to go.
Prices are insane.
Prices are crazy. I'm like, wow, what if I wanted to go on Thursday? Can't go.
No, you got to sell a kidney.
Yeah. Can't go Thursday. I'll tell you that. I remember someone asked me before, like, hey, do you want to go to World Cup? I said, yeah, I would love to go to a match or two if possible. And then they were like, yeah, this time. I said, wait, hold on. You're asking for Super Bowl prices for one game?
Yeah.
Super Bowl prices for one game.
Just wait till we're in the final, TJ.
Hey, I'm just saying, once in Pittsburgh, I snuck into the Civic Arena for a Bone Thugs and Harmony and Mary J. Blige concert.
There
I wonder if I could do the same thing at SoFi. It's right up the street.
Nah. You're going to try to sneak in?
Sneak in?
Why not? Put on a, you know, the thing about doing something like that.
You should try it.
Just look like you know what you're doing. Look like you belong there.
I agree. I agree with that.
They might think I'm a Ram.
Time ago.
I am like 6'3".
That's right. You know? You could be a player. All right, over here. All right.
Otherwise, Chris, I ain't going because I can't afford those tickets. No.
All right, fine.
Kirk Morrison, though.
World Cup final. Okay, I get it. Overreaction.
Big money, Kirk.
Here's the deal. World Cup, okay.
Yeah.
We got a World Baseball Classic.
WBC.
We got what do we have? Something. We got a basketball version of this, right?
Yep.
It's time for a World Cup version of our football. Okay. I need a World Cup for American football. Let's do it.
How? No.
With other countries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. So,
we'll play against Australia. We'll play against Europeans. We know they love soccer. Football. We were over there.
I don't think that would work out.
That won't work, man.
The Germans play football, right?
First of all, a couple things here. Number one,
David Njoku's got a big family. He could fill the team.
I think the closest thing we'll see to this is the flag football, right?
Flag football in the Olympics.
Flag football in the Olympics, which we already know. We already got beat. How we get beat by our own U.S. team? Remember all the NFL dudes tried to go out
there? It's a different game, man.
They got beat up.
It's a different game.
It's a different game.
But I'm saying that's just like the appetizer.
That's the appetizer.
We're going to throw that out there. We're going to be like, hey, look how cool flag football is in the Olympics. Let's do real football, World Cup style.
Yeah, that no one would win but us.
I would probably go more CONCACAF, more like a
Like a regional thing?
Yeah, a regional thing.
That's what I'm thinking.
U.S. versus Canada.
For football? You know,
yeah, real, like a CFL versus NFL.
That could only be, the only way we do this is just in America and we separate out. Like West Coast, East Coast, North, South.
Or like Texas versus everyone.
Texas versus Pennsylvania versus Florida versus California. But otherwise you can't have, no.
You don't think it's going to be like the WBC where guys are like, you know, like our buddy Vinny Pasquantino. He's American, but he played for Team Italy.
That's
so you don't think
story.
Guys in the NFL would dip into their heritage and play for different countries and then we could do a World Cup for football?
It sounds great, but I don't think it would be very competitive, personally.
Yeah. I mean,
I thought it was a cool idea.
It's a cool idea, but dudes don't even want to play in the Pro Bowl no more, let alone play in the World Cup. The World Cup of football, I would think it's exciting. I remember we had the World League, and it was built up of all players, but yeah, man, that's going to be a stretch, dog. I'm sorry, man.
You put $50 million in midfield, guess what?
Okay, now we're talking. Now you piqued my interest.
Thank you. Thank
you. You piqued my interest.
Get a sponsor? I don't know what I'm saying. All right, never mind.
I just don't think, I mean, we're so dominant. Like, I can't imagine
We're so dominant, we couldn't even beat the flag football guys.
Well, they were all American, too.
Yeah, because it was a finesse game.
All right.
Now we get to the real game. They ain't got a chance.
Yeah, like, who's stopping Myles Garrett?
Yeah.
Myles Garrett might be playing for somebody else, a different country.
He won't.
Got to make it worth his while. All right. Looking at social media, this guy's been a maniac. We don't really know what he's doing. Real wild card. Mm-hmm. Okay. But Brandon Ayuk is talking about Go Commanders,
bro,
on his stories there. He's going to lead the Commanders in touchdown catches this year.
Okay.
Seems like he wants to be there.
Wow.
Begging the 49ers to cut him.
Begging the 49ers. I don't know what, like, and why are people reporting on it? Like, it's just reporting on it. Yes, obviously, there's a previous relationship. Brandon Ayuk and Jaden Daniels were teammates at Arizona State University. So they know each other. They're good guys, they're buddies, all that good stuff. Okay, cool. But I don't see it. Oh, is that live? Sorry. Breaking it. Is that live?
Yeah, Messi just scored.
Okay. Congratulations. Lionel Messi.
Messi.
The all-time leader in goals scored in World Cup history. Sorry to break in on the overreact, but that's an overreaction.
Hey, this is news right here.
That's breaking news. Yeah. That's breaking news. Congratulations, Lionel Messi. I don't know what number that is. What number goal that is, by
that's
the way?
17?
17?
Yeah, 17.
Man, congratulations, man. That's huge.
All right, Argentina's good again.
All right, he's good. He's back, right? So he's my version of Pelé, right? I never saw Pelé play live, but Pelé, this is my version of it, right? We're seeing it right here because Pelé considered one of the greatest soccer players of all time.
Maybe the
where does Messi? Is he not?
Messi's probably first.
Is he not first now? Like now with goals scored?
I would need RJ in the back to tell me he's more of a soccer fan than me. So I would need a real soccer fan.
All right,
to weigh
USA,
on
this. Argentina in the final. Let's go.
This is like MJ versus LeBron, right?
Right.
Those type of arguments.
Like, Messi just,
because Pelé, from what we all grew up, Pelé was.
Who's that dude?
The GOAT.
He was the GOAT.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's the only soccer player we knew of.
Anytime that you're just a.
No, we knew Maradona.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Today's the anniversary, right? Of the hand of God, I think it's today.
Hey. One name guys.
One name guys.
One name guys.
All right. Brandon Ayuk, Commanders or no?
I think
Terry McLaurin
may have something to say with that.
Okay. That's a good duo.
Well, they picked up somebody else this year, wide receiver. I forget. I don't know. I got to look it up. I haven't put the Commanders on my radar just yet.
Got to grind a tape. Do the Commanders play the Raiders this year?
No. We did that last year. We're done with them.
All right, last one. The biggest news of the day, Dusty May, obviously, leaving Michigan after two seasons in a natty to go to the Dallas Mavericks. He's going to have Dallas back in the NBA Finals in 2 years. I said 2 years.
That's another overreaction right there, bro. I just want to get him to the playoffs. They got to get to the playoffs first.
Kyrie's back.
Okay.
Cooper Flagg.
Who's the alpha on that team? Is it Kyrie or is it Cooper?
That's Cooper Flagg's team.
That's Cooper Flagg's team now. So is Kyrie going to take a back seat to Cooper Flagg? Or he's got to? I feel like Kyrie's that uncle now that, like, I just want to see the young guys do it, man. I'm just going to be on the team. When you need me, I got you. But until then, you guys got it. Is that Kyrie?
I like that. They have a top 10 pick in the draft coming up. Derek Lively's nice.
Yeah, I mean.
Suddenly, that's a nice free agent
destination. Playoffs first. Because that's that beast over in San Antonio ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, they're only
getting that beast over in San Antonio ain't going nowhere. And look, Wimby's going to hear it all off season. How he didn't shake hands after it was over. Poor sportsmanship. All of that. And they're going to feel that. So I feel like that fuels them for the next couple years. And then OKC, they, you know, Chet got pushed around a little bit.
A lot of it.
They're going to get healthy. So Dallas got a long way to go. That's why I'm saying overreacting on that one, only because the West is going to be tough. Tough. Now, Denver, what happened to Denver? Remember Denver won? It was like, oh, this the new dynasty. And then I looked at something, like you said, we always searching the net. We're always looking for stuff. And now it's been, what, like eight straight champions?
Different champions. Yeah.
They say that every single year. Oh, they're about to go on a run.
No.
Eight straight winners, no repeats.
But I love dynasties, man. Like, I love a dominant
team. Good for sports.
It's good for sports. I know people don't like want to hear that, but it's good for sports. Because we need somebody to root for, and we always need a villain.
Need somebody to root against.
We need a villain. We need to root against them. Yeah. Because that's what creates us. Because we always want to know, are they going to win or go? The Kansas City Chiefs were the greatest thing for the NFL. It got us through that point, and it came off of the Patriots.
Right.
Right. So it was like Patriots. Then it went to Kansas City. Then it's like a partial Eagles right now, because it's like you don't want to see them win, but you're going to watch them. And then now we're in a situation where I don't know how people feel about Seattle being a defending champion. It's like they're just Seattle.
Well, people have no thoughts because they're all the way tucked up in the Pacific Northwest, and it's an afterthought.
I like the variety myself.
You do like the variety?
Yeah, because I remember when the Warriors start winning and you kind of knew, all right, for the next 5 years, this is kind of, if you're not a Warriors fan, then you kind of lose interest in the game. Variety, man, gets everyone interested.
Yeah.
You know, your team has a chance every year.
Every year you get a chance. But you know what? That's why I like the NFL, though. We do. It's our thing. It's our thing, and that's what we're doing right here on The Rich Eisen Show. More coming up right here on The Rich Eisen Show with Kirk Morrison filling in for Rich.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Rich Eisen here, and summer's here too, and that means it's travel season. My favorite summer trip last year was to Sao Paulo, Brazil. With so many fans traveling for the Los Angeles against Kansas City game, they got to see how lively the city is. I love the culture and the amazing food that I'm still craving. Those memories remind everyone that it's that time of year to plan a little getaway. And that's why summer has a way of turning weekends into big events. One minute, it's a normal week, and then all of a sudden, a huge concert, sporting event, or festival brings people in from all over. And when that happens, visitors start looking for places to stay all across your city. So if you're already planning a summer trip of your own, you could list your space on Airbnb and earn a little extra cash while you're away. Doesn't have to be some big year-round commitment. It's about making the most of a busy weekend when your place would just be empty otherwise. I can tell you, people love finding a place that helps them feel connected to the city that they're visiting. If your city's about to have a big summer moment, this is a great time to maximize your space. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. O'Reilly Auto Parts can help take the guesswork out of your vehicle's check engine, ABS, or maintenance light with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE certified master technicians. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
With the World Cup, there's so much that's been going on. I've been excited to see all of these traditions that we had no idea about. Watching Norway and their fans take over Times Square has been something that I never knew. I haven't been to an international game before, so seeing all of this is like, I feel like it's a big, giant college football playoff.
Did you see the clip this morning of the Norway fans on the subway? And they were doing the row sitting in the aisle on the subway.
It's crazy.
Like, it's amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is unreal. I'm learning way too much, as always. But look, first of all, if you're running a small business, means every hire matters. A bad hire costs time, money, but the right one helps your business grow. The challenge, finding that person without sorting through resumes. That's where LinkedIn Hiring Pro comes in. It screens candidates so you can focus on conversations with qualified talent. With Hiring Pro, You can hire with confidence and build the team that you need. So join the 2.7 million small businesses using LinkedIn to hire. Get started by posting your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Eisen. Terms and conditions apply. Like, I think when you look at now, this the way that this World Cup has expanded and they allow more countries to be a part of it, we're seeing a lot of these traditions and the rituals and the fandom. Like, you're seeing it all over. You know, I remember I was, I think the U.S. play with Paraguay, the first game.
Yep.
And I'm over in Inglewood going to the gym, and I'm seeing, like, the Paraguay uniforms. I'm like, just people everywhere. I'm like, it's people from all over. And you really, truly understand what the World Cup is all about. It is truly the World's Cup. And it really got me thinking last night, too, fellas, because the NFL will have, I believe, is it nine or seven international games this year?
Oh,
is it? I think nine in like this.
Four. Hold on.
Maybe more, right?
I had my sheet somewhere, and now
but I'm only bringing that up.
Nine.
It's nine games. Yeah, nine international games.
Seven countries, four continents.
Seven countries, four continents. This year will be nine. In future, it's going to be
every week.
Every week.
Yeah.
There's going to be at least where each team will play at least one international game every season. And why is the NFL pushing? Because it's pushing for moments like what we're witnessing right now in the World Cup. Because everybody's like, well, nobody wants to see football. Well, you're probably, if you haven't been, you don't know. I've played in an international series game before. Now, not overseas, but I played in a Toronto series. And that was it just made games bigger that were just regular non-playoff games. It was a regular season game. But this is what the NFL, I think, is trying to do, guys. They want to have this appeal around the world, get everybody to buy in. Because if you buy in, more people will watch, more people will buy tickets, and it makes the games that much bigger. That's what the NFL is doing.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
MLB.tv on ESPN is your home for every out-of-market game, live or on demand. Catch your favorite teams and players, plus MLB Network and ESPN app features like multi-view, syncing your stats, key plays, bets, and fantasy all in one place. Sign up now for MLB.tv in the ESPN app. Separate subscriptions required, blackouts and other terms apply. Visit stream.espn.com/MLBTV for more information.